Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Community is our business. Joy.org.au.
Melbourne
for the world. Joy 94.9.
Welcome to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody. I'm with you right up until 1 o'clock today here on Joy 94.9. Now, I would love to hear from you, and I'm sure that you've got travel tales or requests or questions. You might even have some tips that you might like to share with our listeners from all around the world. You can SMS me on 0427 Joy 949. You can also phone on 1300 Joy 949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. Love to hear from you. Now, Greg, my partner in crime, is off in New Zealand at the moment having a wonderful time, and I'm looking forward to hearing about his trip. But of course, today on the show, we've got some great guests coming up, and stay tuned right up until 1 o'clock. We'll be talking with a number of people who are absolutely thoroughly involved in travel and love it, who are visiting here in Melbourne for the Melbourne Travel Expo, which is at the Royal Exhibition Buildings in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. We'll be speaking with Clive Arnold, who's an Australian wildlife photographer and cinematographer, and we'll be also speaking with Marcus Faley, who's going to be talking about Anzac Cove and amazing trips to that part of the world. Now, of course, this has been a very turbulent week for people travelling all around the globe, the best source of information that we can certainly recommend is the smarttraveller.gov.au website. Now, the Smart Traveller website is the Australian Government's Travel Advisory and Consular Information Service, and I must say I've been very, very impressed with the information updates about information for Australians travelling in Japan and also people departing Libya. The world is a crazy place, but it's important that you keep up to date, and that information is a really good go-to site. Very soon, I'll be speaking with Daniel Heather, who's from the Melbourne Travel Expo, and I'll be with you right up until 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9.
Tip-toe through the window, by the window, that's where I'll be. Come tip-toe through the tulips with me.
Hi, this is Kylie Minogue, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Sounding out gay and lesbian Melbourne. Joy 94.9.
Joy Melbourne is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse lesbian and gay communities, enabling freedom of expression, the breaking down of isolation, and the celebration of our culture, achievements, and pride.
Community broadcasting is all about real people and having a go. Get involved with Joy 94.9. Learn more about radio, your community, and yourself. Women and the trans community are too often silenced in mainstream media. Joy 94.9 invites you to get involved. Represent your community. Visit joy.org.au.
And welcome to the Detour Travels Show. I'm Jodie, flying solo today. Everyone seems to have flown the coop and travelling somewhere exotic. I'm with you right up until 1 o'clock today. It is now 12:15, and I'm joined on the line by Daniel Heather, who's the event organiser for the Melbourne Travel Expo, which is on at the moment at the Royal Exhibition Buildings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Daniel. How are you, more importantly? You must have had a very hectic week.
Yeah, it has been a busy week in the lead-up. We had nearly a 24-hour build yesterday of getting all the booths in and the stage areas and all that sort of stuff. But the good news is we're now open here at the exhibition building and things are going great.
Terrific. And how long is the expo on for?
It's only this weekend, so there's only 2 days. So we open this morning at 10 a.m. and we close at 4:30, and that's the same for tomorrow as well.
So what sort of things could people who are thinking about travelling to some fantastic destination expect when they come along to the exhibition centre?
Well, I think the best thing about an event like this is you can talk to the experts. You know, the internet's fairly readily available for a lot of people, but you can only get, you know, so much from it. So I think one of the key differences here, you can really talk to people that are either from that destination. We've got a lot of people that have flown in from overseas specifically, so you're actually talking to people that are from the destinations and can give you the, you know, the local advice, the local lowdown, if you like, on different things. So you're talking to the experts, which is good. And one of the popular areas here is we've got a couple of different film and talk rooms. So every half hour, there's a different talk going on, you know, focusing on a different destination or travel area. So I think it's about being able to talk to the people that know what they're talking about.
I've certainly found that helpful when I've been planning a trip, and you know, you can get a bit of information overload with lots of brochures or even, you know, friends and family and websites and travel agents. So it is helpful to go along and sort of talk to the experts. The expo is running just today and tomorrow. What would you say were some of the must-see things?
Oh, look, I think getting down here, one of the fun things is we've got for our Melbourneites, Dermot Brereton from the Getaway TV program. He's coming in between 2 and 4 today. So if you do watch the TV program, you get to meet one of the presenters who's obviously pretty popular down here in Melbourne with his football background. So he's great to talk to because he's been to so many different destinations to present on the TV that he'll give you some really unbiased, you know, first-hand opinions. But there's also some other things. As I said before, it's about practical advice. One of the interesting things is, you know, people go on holidays and quite often want to bring back souvenirs, and some of that can just be confiscated at customs. So you can come down here and they'll talk to you about, you know, it is okay to bring back souvenirs, but just be aware of what you can and can't do before you go. So things like that are cool. There's also different, as well as the destinations here, things like travel products and gizmos to make travelling easier. So I believe there's a brand new international adapter that's hit the market, and you know, that might sound doesn't sound like anything too flash, but if you have travelled overseas, it is frustrating not being able to charge your iPods or your laptops or your phones, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of accessories here as well that will just make it travelling easy. So I think there's a lot to get you going when you actually come through the expo.
Sounds fantastic, Daniel. And look, I think those sort of gadgets are really important, because often, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than finding that you can't charge up batteries for your camera, or you've brought the wrong, you know, plugs. And, you know, it's always good to be abreast of what new products are around to make your trip more convenient. I think it's very interesting how a lot of people tend to sort of try and pare back their packing and try and travel light. So I'm sure that there'd be some people at the Royal Exhibition Buildings who can help out with some of that practical advice, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And the good thing is, each morning we give away to, I think it's around the first 500 or 600 people that walk through the door. We've got some free little luggage tags that you can put on to easily identify your bags. And of course, we've changing criteria when you go overseas. You've got to put liquids in certain bags. So we've also got some free little travel bags as well that we give away to visitors here at the show.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck, and it sounds like something that everybody must get along to. That's at the Royal Exhibition Buildings, and that's open from 10 a.m. to 4:30 today and tomorrow only in Melbourne.
Yep.
And best of luck, and thanks for joining us today, Daniel.
Thanks very much for having me.
Just out? Tune in. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy. I'm Jody. And our guest that just before, if you just tuned in, was Daniel Heather, who is the event organiser for the Melbourne Travel Expo that is on here in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia at the moment. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I'm saving my money and I'm planning a trip and, you know, I'd like to still have some fun and entertainment, but I never want to pay retail. Well, if that's your situation, I can certainly suggest some great things to do over the coming weeks that are either free or cheap. Of course, Victoria is very fortunate that we have such a diverse cultural communities and linguistic communities and religious. And there's Cultural Diversity Week, which is Victoria's largest event for the promotion of cultural, linguistic, religious diversity and community harmony. And to kick that off, the Victorian Multicultural Commission will present Viva Victoria at Federation Square on the 27th of March, and that's between 12 noon and 6. Now, there is a host of a fantastic music performance. There'll be handmade crafts, there'll be traditional foods, there'll be things for kids. It's something that you shouldn't miss, and it's free. That'll be Sunday the 27th of March between 12 and 6 in Melbourne Federation Square. Of course, there's always great things to do, and you can check the Detours Facebook page for more information, and we constantly update that as we go with handy tips. You can also download our podcasts of previous programs. Now, coming up in a few minutes, I'll be speaking with Clive Arnold, who is an Australian wildlife photographer and cinematographer. And he and his wife, Anne, have spent an enormous amount of their life capturing amazing imagery of flora and fauna. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about what they've got to say. That track I played before was Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim. You're listening to Joy 94.9. I'm Jody with the Detours Travel Show with you till 1 o'clock. And that was a great track. Robert De Niro's Waiting by Bananarama here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody. I'm on the Detours Travel Show. And joining me on the phone from the Melbourne Travel Expo is Clive Arnold. And welcome to the program, Clive. Oh, we seem to have lost him there. All right, we'll try that in just... Can you hear me there? Hello? Nope. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a few minutes. We'll be speaking with Clive, who's an Australian wildlife photographer and cinematographer in just a few moments. Now, before we come up with that interview, you might not be aware, but in fact, in Australia, there's a lot of people who are hardworking who need a break from the office. In Australia, there is way too much annual leave accrued. And in fact, the Australian government, through a fantastic website called noleavenolife.com, is encouraging people to holiday in their own backyard in Australia, use up some of that annual leave and explore the amazing things that our domestic tourism has to offer. There's some great things on the website, some handy hints and some itineraries, also some special offers, and there's some good examples on how you can plan ahead so that you can take that leave. And in fact, I'm a big believer that annual leave is really one of the primary reasons for working, so that you can afford those holidays and actually travel and have amazing experiences. Now, our regular listeners might be aware that I was planning a trip to Japan. Now, obviously, with the tsunami and the tragic events unfolding, my plan has been cancelled. But I tell you what, I'm absolutely glad that I've booked through a travel agent and that I've got travel insurance, because absolutely everything is covered under those policies. And it is important to shop around and make sure that you're covered adequately in case there are some emergency circumstances that you don't anticipate. And in fact, you know, the Australian government does point out on the Smart Traveller website that if you can't afford travel insurance, you can't afford to travel. So I think that's good advice. If you've got a travel insurance story or something you'd like to share, I'd love to hear from you. You can SMS me on 0427JOY949 or email me at onair@joy.org.au. And we might have a bit more music, and then I'll try and get Clive Arnold back on the line so you can hear all about his experiences of travelling all around Australia here on Joy 94.9. Just what I felt like on a Saturday afternoon here on Joy 94.9. This is the Detours Travel Show. I'm Jodie, and that was another Bananarama track that I just couldn't resist, called I Heard a Rumour. Now, joining me on the phone, I heard a rumour that Clive Arnold is an extraordinary photographer, and he's joining me now on the program. Welcome, Clive. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Nice talking to you, Joy.
Lovely. Now, Clive, how did you become involved in photography?
Well, I've been doing wildlife and animals and birds most of my life. I started when I was really, really young in Zimbabwe. I haven't been doing it most of my life. I've been doing safaris now for over 30 years. I've been in Australia now for 10, and I've been doing safaris from Australia for 10 years now.
And when you say safaris, you're talking with four-wheel drives, jeeps, you know, out with tents, that type of experience?
No. The safaris that I do, Joy, not with tents, not the lower budget ones. I do more of the upper class safaris, and basically I take you through southern Africa, which is South Africa, into Zimbabwe, Namibia, Botswana, and I also do an East Africa trip, which is Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, and Zanzibar.
I imagine for many of your visitors joining your trips, Clive, that it would be a lifelong dream to visit those places in Africa. Is that the case?
Yeah, Joy, I didn't expect it to take off like it has here in Australia. I started off doing probably two or three safaris, and then I said to my wife I wanted to continue doing my autobiography and continue filming, which is what I normally do, and photography. But it's taken off, and the reason why it's taken off is because I'm able to give the people the hands-on with some of the animals over there, like walking with my lions. I have lions over there, so we actually take them into the bush, into the wild, and you walk with lions. You do an elephant-back safari with me. I do behind-the-scenes with the African tribes, such as the Zulu, the Matsamo, the Bushman tribes, the Himba tribes, and then also up in East Africa, we go behind-the-scenes and do some of the tribes, such as the Maasai.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And so you've become... Obviously, you've expanded your aspects of your interests over many, many years and accrued a lot of knowledge. What sort of things are you learning along the way now?
Well, in the last, say, 5 or 6 years, or 8 years now, we've actually gone into actually darting and helping out some of these animals. So I've actually worked with some of the scientists and some of the vets as well, and actually introduced some of my clients as we actually don't like calling people on my safari clients, I like calling them friends.
I imagine you'd become very close as a group with all those experiences, yes.
Yeah, I take over between 8 and probably 10 people with me on each safari. And in southern Africa, I have a vehicle there which is a 12-seater vehicle. So we have, say, sometimes two to three seats extra on the vehicles. And they are modern vehicles, upper class. And also in East Africa, I take 10 people there, but only five people per vehicle there as well. It's no use, you know, cramming people in on a safari vehicle and you can't take the proper and the really nice photograph shot that you really want to. So it's good that you have space to actually move around in these vehicles when you go there, because, you know, sometimes it's a one-in-a-lifetime trip And these safaris that you do over in Africa, they're not cheap anymore. They are quite expensive. So, you know, it's good that when you come back, you've had all the experience that you can get, and you've had some of the hands-on, and you've had the best of photographic opportunities to actually do over there.
It sounds incredible. And are the people who, as your friends, as you describe them, who come on your tours, are they people who are budding photographers, or are they professionals? Or
No, a lot of them just want to go over there and see the animals and the tribes. And also I do, you know, say to them, listen, I'll operate your cameras for you. I'll help you out with your cameras, because that's what I am. I am a wildlife photographer. And they do come back here with those fantastic photographs. They love it. I take over people. We have about a 70%, 60-70% people actually say, look, I want to go back again. It was just amazing. I have one lady that's been with me in 8 years. She's been with me 9 times in 8 years.
That's amazing, isn't it? I know from my experiences when I was working as a tour guide in Central Australia in the Uluru Kadajuta National Park, that there was such a thrill about helping people experience and share something that they have dreamed their whole life of experiencing.
Yes, it is nice. You know, when I came up here, I was going back all the time to work on rhinos and to get more experience with other animals. And people were saying to me, oh, can I come with you? Can I come with you? And that's where I decided, look, I was doing it there in Africa, and I thought, okay, I better start opening up a safari business here. And it just took off. And, you know, doing photographic safaris as well has also taken off as well. It's just nice working with animals, nice doing photographs. And it's also nice, I really get a thrill out of taking people behind the scenes. You know, when I was over there a couple of months ago, we actually went out and caught a couple of leopard, and we darted them, and then I took them back to our rehabilitation center, and then I asked the people to come into the theater, and then, you know, I operated on the leopard there, and we took its tooth out, we took a growth out of its stomach, and then after that they went with me and we played with a baby black rhino, which was about 6 weeks old.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, after that, the people were saying, look, it's just amazing. I didn't expect to do that. But as I was saying, I take people over there and do the behind the scenes. And as I said, it's an up-class market safari that I offer people over in Africa, yeah.
Now, Clive, if people are thinking about making a trip to Africa for wildlife observation and photography, obviously there's some preparatory things people would need to do in terms of vaccinations. What sort of advice would you give to people?
Well, one of the things is that if people want to go to Africa, they should go and do it. Don't be scared of what you hear about in Africa. A lot of people think, you know, there's a guy around every corner with an AK, or you're going to get shot, or you're going to get rabies, or you're going to get malaria, and there's snakes everywhere. You know, I've been living in Australia for 10 years now, and I think I've seen probably more snakes here than I have seen in Africa. So some of the stories that you hear in Australia are so over-exaggerated. They should go over there, go with a person, say, like, who's involved with wildlife, like myself. If they don't want to go by themselves, come over with me and, go behind the scenes. And like I said, you know, I've got this one lady, Millie, from up north, Queensland. She's been with me many, many times now, and she never wanted to go to Africa. I've had another 10 people that went many years ago and said, okay, what have I got to offer? Since then, I've taken them over 3 times in 3 years, 10 of them. And, yeah, they are thinking about going back again. I'm actually filming in the Serengeti next year, and I've opened up an opportunity for people to come with me behind the scenes and actually film and photograph with me.
Wow, that would be an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And just as we finish up, Clive, one of the things that often amazes me when I watch documentaries, ones in particularly about wildlife, is the amount of patience that people must have to be able to sort of crouch in awkward positions or be camouflaged and, you know, wait and wait for that perfect shot of an opportunity.
Yeah. It's, you know, when we go over, I normally have 2 vehicles. And so the good thing is that both my vehicles are set up with radios. And so we head off in different directions, and we're on comms with each other. So if you do see something really, really exciting, then we get called in and we head off and we actually go up and actually do the photographing and filming from from the vehicles. So, yeah, it's good to be over there with two vehicles, two radios, and more comms with everybody. You get the opportunity of seeing a hell of a lot more behind the scenes, that's for sure.
Well, it sounds like you're giving people experiences of the life that no one could probably imagine that they would have, Clive. And I'd really like to thank you for joining me here on the Detours Travel Show, and all the best for your tours.
It's a pleasure. It's the first time I've been to Melbourne, and obviously, it's at the Melbourne Travel Expo here at the Royal Exhibition Building, which is a fantastic building here. And it's fully booked in here. It's going pretty well. And the way it's going for us, we'll definitely be back next year, that's for sure.
That's great to hear.
We've had a lot of interest here, that's for sure, yes. And it's been good talking to you. And hopefully I can talk to you again sometime, Joy.
I'd love that. Thanks so much, Clive. Take care.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, how fascinating. It's I wonder if that's on people's lists of careers when they're thinking about what subjects to pick, to be a wildlife photographer and cinema photographer and taking people on tours to Africa. Just incredible. This is the Detours Travel Show. I'm Jody, and coming up in a few minutes, I'll be speaking with Marcus Faley about Anzac Cove, and there's some quite significant things that are coming up this year, and he'll be telling us more about that just in a few moments. Stay with me till 1 o'clock.
Joy 94.9. Gay Radio. Good times.
Safe listening. It's safe listening. Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
That was Knock on Wood, a fantastic track here on Joy 94.9. And I'm Jody on the Detours Travel Show. I have a surprise guest for our regular listeners. I'm delighted to welcome onto the program Greg Atkins, who is calling all the way from Wellington, New Zealand, who's at the second Asia Pacific Art Games Human Rights Conference. Welcome to the program, Greg.
Well, Jody, it's fabulous here in Wellington, New Zealand. I'll tell you, they've turned on the sunshine, and it's just been an extraordinary week. And the conference has actually finished. It finished yesterday, and we're actually at the airport now, and there's a whole range of people heading out on flights to Melbourne and all over the place, and guess where I'm going?
Where are you going?
Oh, well, I'm on a flight to Sydney. I don't know what that means when you're supposed to come back to Melbourne, but somehow I'm going to Sydney, but I'll be back in Melbourne eventually.
Very good.
But it's fantastic to connect back to Joy Music, because guess what the song of the day was at Nomads in Wellington? Guess
I can't imagine. What was it?
I've been listening to Pearl Jam, Yellow Ledbetter.
Oh, okay.
So it's incredible music.
That's not what I expected. Now, Greg, obviously you wear many hats and you're at the Human Rights Conference. What brought you there, and what was your role at the conference?
It was actually a three-way presentation with myself from the Anti-Violence Project, with Joy, represented by Danae Gibson, the General Manager, and Scott Davis, who couldn't make it from the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit at Victoria Police, but he was there in voice, because we had a presentation that brought on the voice of a range of people into how we collect around International Day Against Homophobia, May 17, establish networks and tackle homophobia in a really positive and affirming way. And we brought it to New Zealand to straddle the Asia-Pacific region and link and join people together for the 2011 Idaho.
That sounds fantastic. How did people respond in the audience?
Oh, amazing response from people. We've got people that are right across the region that are connecting now for Idaho this year, including Roshan Mahato from Nepal will be part of it. We've got Trans Network from India, Sampoorna, that'll be part of the network. And we've got New Zealand, people in New Zealand that have done small aspects of Idaho but never collected together. And we're going to have it across the ditch, Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific and Asia joining together for Idaho this year.
That sounds fantastic, Greg. And I was having a read of some information online about the Wellington Out Games, and of course sometimes people think it is just about people being sporty spices, and obviously that's an element, but the Human Rights Conference is also about ways to explore and express issues for people with different sexual orientations and gender identity. What would you say is sort of maybe some of the highlights for you about the conference?
One of the highlights to me was the closing ceremony of the conference brought together the whole rationale behind it. It was GLISA, which is the Gay and Lesbian International Sporting Association, which two Melbourne people were part of setting up. They sort of had a narrative that at the end that connected all what they did over the last couple of years, connecting Melbourne with this one in Wellington and where it goes in the future, and connecting it to culture, to arts, to human rights, as well as sport. And it was just an amazing experience, with nearly every session or every plenary had a connection to song and narrative of the Maori here in New Zealand and the Pacific Islanders, trans community, Fafafei from Tonga and Samoa. And it was a connection of communities, just amazing. It was like a travel experience, but in the human rights sense.
Wow, that's a good way to describe it. Of course, sometimes people forget that, you know, when people do feel comfortable in their own skin with their sexuality, that other people don't.
And they don't. And some people here, in our society in Australia, the hidden, the invisible are often trans and often intersex. Here, we actually had intersex stand up, and they're in charge of sessions, they're in charge of discussion. They weren't just the tokenistic I on the end of GLBTIQ. They actually truly took control of their agenda. And perhaps it's a model for how we should operate within Australia. If we're not inclusive and don't allow them to speak for themselves, maybe we shouldn't actually tack the I onto the end of our abbreviations.
I absolutely agree, Greg. I think there's an amazing saying that is renowned in the disability sector that says, don't talk about us without us. And to me, that is absolutely, you know, across the board in terms of human rights. People need to express their own views and their own experiences, or have the safety to do that also, you know, to help collaborate and learn from other ways to have law reform and stamp out discrimination.
Now, a highlight too has to be the allies. I mean, I caught up with Dame Margaret Sparrow. Now, Dame Margaret's just an icon of sexual health and family planning. She's got to be nudging her 80s. And I think I've met her about five times in the last 20 years, and she's just an amazing woman around sexual health, family planning, and she reaches out to gay, lesbian health. She touches on intersex. In fact, she's a trustee on the Intersex Foundation of New Zealand, which is the world's oldest intersex foundation.
Amazing. Very, very good. Well, Greg, thanks for joining us. I could hear a boarding announcement in the background, so I don't want you to miss that flight and come back to Australia.
Well, enjoy detours, and hello everyone in Melbourne from all the people at Wellington Airport that are flying to different parts of the world.
Terrific. Travel safely. We'll look forward to seeing you when you're back in Melbourne. Greg, thanks for joining me.
Kia ora, Jody.
Thank you. And that was Greg Atkins, who's my other partner in crime when Lindsay's not joining me. And Greg's been at the second Asia Pacific Out Games Human Rights Conference in Wellington in New Zealand. Now, very shortly, I'll be speaking with Pete Dillon from Cravings to hear what he's got coming up after 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Award-winning radio. Award-winning radio.
And I love that track as well. It is fun playing solo when you get to choose the music, isn't it, Pete?
It is indeed. I love choosing my own music.
And that track, of course, was We Are Family by Sister Sledge. Now, Pete, you've got Cravings coming up after the news at 1. What's happening?
We're talking beer. I found a man who's got a little store that has over 1,000 beers that you can buy in 2-litre bottles, and very interesting fellow. Sarah's coming in to talk about the Victorian Farmers Markets Association and where to find your local farmers markets. And Franco Dunner's going to talk to us. He's from Hoddle's Creek Winery, about vintage, because it's the only thing that winemakers can think about at the minute, pulling grapes off vines. So a very interesting show coming up.
I'm glad you explained what vintage meant, because I was just going to ask it.
Yeah, see? Well, we're going to ask Frank, because everybody's talking vintage, and it's not just old men like me.
You're not old. You're very youthful. Have a great program.
Thank
you. Great to see you. Thank you. Now, I would also like to introduce to the program, I have Marcus Fairley on the line, who is at the Travel Expo at the Royal Exhibition Buildings. Welcome to the program, Marcus.
Thank you.
Now, you have a particular interest in Anzac Cove. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Now, tell me, how did you become interested in this?
Well, Gallipoli and Anzac Cove is the number one connection between Australia and Turkey, and both nations have got a bit of a birthplace at Anzac Cove. And I was a tour guide in Turkey myself for about 6-7 years before migrating to Australia. And 2015 is coming up, so we thought, what a great way to promote the harmony, the friendship, the respect that both countries have to each other. So those are the sort of values and feelings that we have.
Oh, I completely agree, Marcus. So I was talking before with Clive Arnold, who takes people to Africa, and you know, I think the insight and the friendships that you make in those experiences are quite phenomenal. Is that your perspective as well?
Absolutely, it's just a unique experience. I think there is not another incident in the history of humankind where two nations, unaware of each other, fighting against each other, and yet they had the gentlemanship against each other. I mean, I've got stories that I can tell you that they ceased fire, they stopped, they were throwing cigarettes from one trench to the other, food from the other side, and some of the mateship, some of the words that we know today, like cobber, all of those sort of words were born in Gallipoli about 90-odd years ago.
That's incredible. And so how did you become interested in being a tour guide in Gallipoli?
I have got Turkish background. I was born to a Turkish family. I lived my life until I was about 20 in a place called Cappadocia, Turkey. I was on a trip to Australia to travel around, and since then I stayed here. And so I just wanted to bring some sort of a flavour into the Australian society from my background. And now we have got a guy called John Basaran, the Anzac Peace Prize recipient from last year, and has got books published on Gallipoli. So he's also getting involved in promoting the friendship, the harmony between the two nations. And I think it's just a natural thing that has just flourished itself. You just couldn't help it, because it's all genuine mateship and friendship that we've got, and it just comes into life.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for joining me, and certainly if people are interested in more information, they can get along to the Travel Expo, which is at the Royal Exhibition Buildings in the Carlton Gardens today and tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And thank you for doing your bit for world peace and harmony.
Thank you very much, Jodie. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks for joining me, Marcus. Well, it is nearly 1 o'clock, so it's time for me to say goodbye. Thanks for joining me today on the Detours Travel Show. Time flies when you're having fun, and I've had fun. I'll be back again next Saturday at 12 noon here on Joy. Very shortly we'll have the news, and then after the news, stay tuned for Pete Dillon with Cravings and lots of, I don't know, Terps and Tucker and yummy things here on Joy 94.9.
Award-winning radio serving our community. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.